The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests of the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fatted cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out therefore into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all that they found, the bad and the good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It appears that there are two very contradictory images that are going on today. In Isaiah, we hear about the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah comes and all the nations will flock to the mountain of the Lord, because that is where the Lord is at, and all will recognize that the Lord is God. All will come and worship, and in that worship, they will celebrate the celestial feast. Now, the Lord is saying there's going to be a party in heaven, which is a nice thing to think about. The fact that we're going to go up there, there'll be plenty of steak, plenty of beer, plenty of wine, whatever you want, it'll be there. And no one will have to ring the bell to get us there. We'll just show up, you know? And the Lord talks about this is the generosity of God. This is the goodness of God. Such a great gift he is offering. And it is foretelling through Isaiah that the Jewish people are going to encounter again. That after they have gone through exile, after they experience the loss of the Lord is going to restore them to his glory. Great hopes. But then we hear the gospel and we begin to wonder what's going on here. We hear another story, the parable that Jesus gives the people. And this is the third week in a row Jesus is really hammering the elders and the Pharisees and the priests. He's going at them again and again, asking them to rethink how they are living, to rethink how they are praying, to rethink what they think about God. And they're having trouble with it. And so we hear the Lord saying, the kingdom of heaven, this life of God where there is hope and where there is joy and where there is this heavenly feast, where God is present in Jesus Christ incarnate, everyone is invited. And yet the first who are invited, in this case, referring to the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the Pharisees, they don't want any part of it. We're not coming. We're going to do other things. And some are so hostile to this idea of this king coming that they decide to destroy the king's messengers. And in the midst of all this parable, we hear about the terrible judgment of God, that rejecting God has its consequences, has terrible consequences for us. But sometimes we think we're right in doing that, and the Lord is saying, where there is God is present, you cannot reject that without rejecting God himself. And in doing that, without rejecting ourselves. Because if we're creating God's image and likeness, to reject God is to reject ourselves. to reject our faith, to reject the fact that our connection to any kind of meaning in life has to come through the Messiah, has to come through Jesus Christ. We reject that outright. There has to be another way. This way is not enough. You know, we have that quite a bit. One of the parishes I go to, oftentimes people tend to switch parishes. You know, they'll go from one Catholic parish to another. But one parish I'm at, they don't go to another parish, they go to another church. And I could never figure out. It is really an amazing thing to me. And I had to ask some people about it a couple of times. All of a sudden, they call up the parish and they say, "We're no longer Catholic. We're going to go to this church or to that church down the street." And one time, one couple announced it to me, right after Mass. "Well, Father, this is our last week here at this church. We're going to go to the Presbyterian church down the street." I'm just kind of scratching my head and I'm thinking, well, okay, why? Have you been offended by something? Do you not accept the church as all that it teaches? Do you not see all the great things that we have in our faith and the relationships of the people here in the church? And the husband said, "You know, Father, we're just not being fed here." And again, it was just, hello, you know? "What do you mean you're not being fed?" I said, "Can I explain something to you?" Usually that means I'm going to get smart alecky. "I'm going to explain something to you. Now, we just celebrated the Holy Eucharist. Christ's sacrifice on the cross, which continues to the end of time, and that sacrifice is given to us under the appearances of bread and wine, in which we receive God himself. We feed on God. And you're telling me you're not being fed here. Explain that logic to me. You receive the body and blood of Christ, and you say you're leaving here hungry? It doesn't make sense." Well, then I came to find out, well, they really didn't believe that's who they were receiving. I said, "Because if you're feeding on God, there's not anything that's going to top that. You know, not even a meat topper pizza from La Rosa's is going to top the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's just not going to do it." And it's just amazing me how people can say, "I'm not being fed. This is not giving me what I want." The question is, do you know what you want? And I asked him that. You know, without this, I kept my cool for the most part. I wanted to be kind, so I was hoping I'd convince them to come back. And they said, "Well, we really don't know what we want." I said, "Well, you know what you have." Well, they didn't know that either. And I said, "Well," I said, "you can," I said, "do what you need to do. But always know that God is still present here in the Eucharist, that the sins can still be forgiven, that the Word of God is still active, and that when you come to your senses," I said that, "we'll be here." And they kind of went off in a huff. Well, kind of figured it. But it didn't make any sense to me, because this is the thing. God has invited us to the banquet, and we've already shared the first fruits of that banquet, and still somebody says, "It's just not good enough." You know, it's kind of like saying, "This is a bad Bordeaux. It just doesn't fit." Oh, lighten up. You know, come on, crying out loud. Everybody's a critic. That's why I tell people, I said, if Jesus were to come today, there would be someone saying, complaining about what he said. "Well, we don't agree with that. Or we don't, you know, Jesus, he's just out of his mind with this." Even today, Jesus, faith is still a great mystery and we still need it. Because even as Jesus is standing here, there'll still be people saying, "I don't think so." You just want to go like that. But this is what the Lord's saying. Here it all is. How can you reject this? I mean, you almost wonder if God's incredulous about this. He's handed us more wealth than what's in Fort Knox, and we're saying it's not enough. How do we lose its value? Well, one of the ways I think we lost its value is that we see later on in this parable, there's another strange thing happening. The king has this party ready, and he's not going to let this feast go to waste. And so if the ones who were chosen are not going to come, then he's going to open up the door to anyone who can come. But if you come, you better know where you're going, you know? And so it's clear the king is having a party, and when you go to the king's house, you dress appropriately. Like anything else. Even the poorest people I know, when I'm at my parishes in Bond Hill and Lincoln Heights, and Lincoln Heights, oftentimes the people, you know, aren't very poor, but they're not very wealthy. And I'll tell you what, they come to church every Sunday dressed to the nines. I mean, The shirts, the French cuffs, the tie, immaculate, the ladies with the beautiful dresses and the hats, they are dolled up because we're going to church and we're going to dress for the Lord. That's how they live. That's their wedding garment. Because I know I'm going to meet the Lord today, and in going to meet the Lord, I want to look my best. I want to give honor to the one I'm meeting by coming prepared to meet him. And what do we hear? This person shows up. And everyone has to have this wedding garment. I mean, everyone gets invited to a wedding once in a while. You know, didn't wear it. And didn't even explain why he wasn't wearing it. He just says he was reduced to silence. It's almost the same thing as the first story. We cannot come to God on our own terms. The good news is that God comes to us on his terms, and his terms are far more tolerant, his forms are far more gracious and generous than our terms ever can be. And he constantly invites us in. But he said, if you're going to come on your terms, you're not dressed properly, you're not recognizing who God is, and you're not willing to accept all that God has to give you. You're saying, sorry, Lord, I'm doing this my way. And the Lord says, you can do it outside. Take our friend and show him the door. Feet first. Feet first. That's what happens. And that's true with our own life. You know, people want to come to God on their own terms. They want to define the faith in their own way. Forgetting the fact that the King of all kings, Jesus Christ, has given us this great truth of the gospel, of God's love, of God's forgiveness, of God's justice, which is also merciful, of God's saving presence. We talked about those aspects of salvation. Apparently the main one again for us is looking forward, living forward, loving forward. The Lord's looking forward to the kingdom to come. And they're coming in, no, Lord, I'm going to look at it my way. And the Lord says, you're just going to miss it. You won't even appreciate what you have. So it's best that you go. And that's what he's telling all of us today. So the good news is, it's coming. The Lord has shown us the feast. He's given us a foretaste of it in the Holy Eucharist. He's given us a foretaste in the grace and the gifts that we've received from baptism to be a hopeful people, to be a people who are loving unto death, to be a people who are willing to sacrifice and deny ourselves for the greater good of the world, to do what Christ did, to allow that cross sometimes to be heavy on our shoulders. We're willing to do that. And out of that, we receive these great gifts of the feast. But it's there. But we have to make the choice to come on God's terms. We have to come how he asks us to come. And he says, come prepared. Now, for the wedding garment, what does it mean for us to come prepared? It means to come attentive to what we are doing, not to be daydreaming or lollygagging or whatever we do, but to come focused on the fact that this is the great feast of the Lord in which we offer the sacrifice. And from that sacrifice, the fruit of that sacrifice is Christ's body and blood. Such a great gift. It's such an awesome responsibility on us, though. We have to be prepared. We need to live a life of faith and hope and charity. We need to live a life of forgiveness and generosity and understanding and compassion. All those are the threads that are woven into our wedding garment. Because those threads of sin that are there, yes, they're there. We ask the Lord to clean them. We ask the Lord to take them out. But through our contrition, we receive that gift of forgiveness, and we can again begin to continue to weave this garment, this wedding garment, because we know the ultimate wedding is the wedding of Christ's humanity and his divinity in the divine person of the Son. That is the wedding. That is the wedding to which we celebrate every day we celebrate the Mass. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we too have that wedding to do. We need to take our bodies, which sometimes want to do things our own way and do things on our own terms, and through our spiritual life and through our prayer life and through our discipline, we need to marry those two so that we come before the Lord as one person, not a divided heart, but one person who can give all that we have, who says, Lord, I am here at your disposal. Do with me as you please. And the Lord will say, come have something to eat. And then we'll talk about what you want to do. Because the Lord's not going to send us out there on an empty stomach. He's going to send us full of his Son. He's going to send us with the gift of the Eucharist. So not only will it feed us, but it will become now the gift that we can use to give to others and to bring others to the feast and say, come as the Lord has asked you to come. Come with a contrite heart. Come with a loving heart. Come with a hopeful heart. And come ready to meet the Lord. Not your idea of the Lord, but the Lord as he has shown himself to us. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered and died for us on the cross, but is now raised from the dead and sits at the Father's right hand. He says, come enjoy the fruit of this banquet, the juicy foods and the rich wines, and find in there peace, find in there joy, but most importantly, find in there our Christian mission, find in there our Christian hope, and find the essence of our Christian life, which is to live as Christ lived, serve as Christ served, and ultimately love as Christ loves.